560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta and the greater Atlanta area. And if you're not in Atlanta, that's amazing, too. Thank you for listening via The Quest app or online. We are so blessed to find joy in the journey with you because, hey, as Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And speaking of joy, why don't we start this day off the right way with a little bit of prayer? I'll just say in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is from the Magnificat in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary and her wonderful feast day today. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on us from generation to generation, on those who fear him. He has shown the strength of his arm and scattered the proud in their conceit. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has given help to his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, even as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, to his children forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. I love that so much.
Isn't that
from Scripture? That's Mother Mary praising God. Yes.
Yeah, what a gift. And hey, she was right on the nose with that. All generations shall call her blessed.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing today, Allison?
I'm doing well, Josh. How about you?
I'm blessed. I guess I'm doing pretty well. You know, I went to a young adult adoration, this 20s and 30s adoration at Christ the King Cathedral on Friday.
Nice.
And I tell you, they call it packed, the cathedral, and they are not underselling themselves. That cathedral was packed with young adults. And I get a little nostalgic because I've been going for a little bit, you know, since my conversion in 2019. I feel like this is kind of my farewell tour because it's the 20s and 30s. I'm 39, you know. I feel like I'm about to get carted when I show up at the front door.
You're
right?
So funny.
Is that Metamucil in your backpack? Hold on.
Josh.
I don't know if you belong here. But you smell like Icy Hot. What's up with that?
You can still join them.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, I think I'll respect if when I hit 40, I might, you know, have to go to some different events. But I think they would, if I was in there praying at 40, I think they'd be merciful. They're wonderful, holy people. How about you? Did you do something fun?
Oh my gosh, another packed weekend. Yeah, was bonding with my oldest. You know, she had her homecoming dance. So on Saturday morning, we got to spend some quality time together, getting her hair done and her nails. And then while she was at the homecoming dance, my other two kids and I went with my sister-in-law to the Atlanta United soccer game, which is always an exciting experience. I mean, those fans are truly the most passionate fans, soccer fans.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. But it was a great game. We won.
There's a section in the Atlanta United where you can only be in it if you're going to be absolutely super rowdy.
Correct. And we always look over there and they are nonstop with the flags flying. I'm like, they're getting a workout with those flags alone.
Yeah, no, it's major cardio.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say I took the kids and the family and we went in the corner and secretly chaperoned the dance.
No, at Bosco, there.
I'm sure it was locked down, but
top-notch school. I mean, there were plenty of parents there. So, yeah, no, they had a good time. But I don't know. I think it
went
well.
Wouldn't she have been thrilled if you were just kind of hovering around secretly at the dance? And
no.
She would have loved that, right?
No.
Just surprise.
Yeah. Outgoing sanguine mom. That's all she needs is me to be right there. Hi, Mary.
Yeah. In camo and black face paint, just lurking in the bushes. Okay. Well, yeah, if there's any dance that's going to be a holy one and a wholesome one, it's definitely going to be a Bosco dance. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it was fantastic. And yeah, it's certainly a gift. You know, one thing I will say that's just so beautiful about the Pack the Cathedral and the Young Adult Adoration is just to see so many young people
captivated by the Eucharist.
Oh, yes.
What a gift, because we are who we hang out with. And
Amen.
If you give God 1 hour, he's going to give you 23 back, right? Especially that day. So, yeah, it's very encouraging to see the message of our Eucharistic Lord really, you know, becoming, just spreading greatly within our diocese, and especially the young adults.
Amen, amen. Well, we have a great show today. Coming up, we have Kathy. She is going to be reflecting on the gospel today with us, which is going to be super exciting. Chuck is going to be with us. He's going to be talking about Our Lady of the Rosary. Today is that the special day of Our Lady of the Rosary. Monday memes with Dave. We can't wait to hear those. Those are always fun. And then we have Father Mike back from Washington, Georgia. The topic today, Oh, Father Mark. Thank you so much, Dave. Father Mark's going to be talking about why we should get to Mass early.
Oh, that's good.
So a lot of great stuff ahead of us.
Today in studio, we have Father Daniel Brandenburg, LC, who is blessing us with just all kinds of kernels of wisdom. Father, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be with you guys. And we just had Mass in the chapel here at the Quest Radio. It's actually my first time. So I've been here several times before, but it's the first time I get to celebrate Mass.
Wow,
here.
That's special.
Yeah, it was great.
And I loved your message on the guardian angels as well. How some of them work overtime, right?
They certainly do. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's been the case in my life. I think my whole family is a little more accident prone and all kinds of crazy things that have gone on. So we've had a special devotion to our guardian angels.
Amen, amen. Well, I won't go into stories because it'd be a hostage situation, but I think we all have our stories. You go, man, praise the Lord, you were showing off in that moment. And speaking of showing off, I hear that God has certainly shown off in your life on a multitude of occasions. I mean, from your vocation story to even the fact that you're just sitting here with us today. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear
a little bit more
about your course in miracles and perhaps what brought you here.
Oh, gosh, there's so many things I could say, Josh, but let me kind of bring it to the essential. I mean, 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma cancer.
Wow.
And that was a year and a half after I'd had a heart attack at the age of 39.
Oh, my goodness.
And there were no signs of it at all. When I had the heart attack, I had just run a half marathon a month and a half before at a 7.5-minute mile pace. So it's not a slacker pace at all.
No.
Wow.
And I felt like I was in great condition. But there's a history of heart issues on my dad's side of the family. And just came out of the blue. I had a heart attack, 100% blockage in my right coronary artery.
Oh, wow.
The doctors and nurses told me afterwards they don't know how I was still alive because part of my heart was stopped for 2.5 hours. And those are the moments when you just know God has a plan.
Yes.
It wasn't my time. But it happened so quickly that I don't think I got the message because the cancer came a year and a half later. And I was, was up hiking the mountains and started feeling a little bit winded, came back to Atlanta where I was living, here at the time. And it was having a little shortness of breath. And when I went out for a run, came back and mentioned it to my superior, and he said, well, maybe it's something with your heart because you had that heart attack a year and a half ago. And I said, no, it's no big deal. Probably nothing at all. Mm. And there was another guy who was standing there, Teddy Wiegand, and he's overhearing the conversation. He says, wait a second, Father, you had a heart attack a year and a half ago. I'm taking you to the hospital. So he took me down to St. Joseph's in Emory, and they, checked me in and checked me out. Ended up keeping me for a whole week
Wow.
for observation, for tests. And they found that I didn't have a heart attack again, but there was something wrong in my blood. And it turned out to be multiple myeloma cancer. So I spent the next 9 months going through various forms of treatment, starting with chemo, plasmapheresis, dialysis, all just not fun things at all. A lot of suffering. And all of that happened actually. Yesterday, we just celebrated the feast of St. Therese of Lisieux.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she has played an outsized role in my priesthood and my vocation.
Mm.
And I found out that I had cancer right on her feast day.
Wow.
Wow.
And when I found out that I had cancer, my immediate reaction was like, okay, I don't know why you're allowing this, Lord, but you're allowing it for a reason. So give me the grace to live it well. And I offer up all this suffering for the church. And that was right around the time that the scandal mm-hmm. with Cardinal McCarrick mm-hmm. was coming out into the news. And to be honest, I was so angry. Mm-hmm. I was really, really ticked off. Because I was like, when are we going to learn?
Yeah.
When are we going to clean up this garbage in the church? When are we going to get over this? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll start to put things back into the holiness that God is calling us to. And I remember thinking as I was going through the cancer and they were explaining to me how the multiple myeloma puts off a type of protein that blocks your kidneys. And kidneys take out the poison, the toxins from your blood. So all that builds up in your body. You start to kind of bloat and retain fluid. And it's very unfortunate, but I was learning about the function of the kidneys, and it hearkened me back to the autobiography of Saint Therese, where she talks so beautifully about how she loves God so much and experienced God's love so deeply that she it wouldn't be enough for her to be a missionary or a martyr or a bishop or the Pope. She wants to be a heart for the church to pump God's love into every corner of the church. And I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, well, Therese, you've got the market cornered on hearts. So maybe I can be a kidney for the church.
Oh, I love this.
And so I offered all of my suffering through the cancer for the purification of the church.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And I think that's why God allowed some extra suffering through the whole process. But thanks be to God. I mean, I had a bone marrow transplant at Emory Hospital. And, you know, it's been five years now that the cancer's been in remission. I still have to go on a regular basis for checkups. I've got a bone marrow biopsy next week, which is really painful and uncomfortable. But thanks be to God, you know, the cancer free and or at least in remission for right now, although it can come back. So
praise God.
So in circumstances like that, right, you can either get bitter or you can get better. And
that's right.
I love there was this just disposition of surrender I heard in your rendition of this story. I don't know why you're allowing it, Lord, but essentially, like Saint Francis, well, the prayer of Saint Francis says, "Use me as an instrument of your peace all of this."
Yeah.
So, what would you say to those who might be going through an unfortunate diagnosis or some sort of tragedy? That it's kind of just like a 2x4. Really, God, why is this happening? What advice would you have for them to really find the, you know, interior alchemy and all that to where they can use it to get better and closer to Christ?
Well, there's no easy answer to that because suffering is painful. It's unfortunate. We don't like it. And our natural human disposition is to run away from suffering. And it's not easy to overcome that. It's only with God's grace. So actually, in the middle of when I had the heart attack, I was in the middle of giving a retreat on the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Wow.
And I ended up writing a book on the seven sorrows of Mary called Journey to Joy.
Wow. Oh.
Reflections on the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in that book, initially, there's this group of ladies in Louisville, Kentucky, who asked me to preach the retreat to them, and they gave me the title. They said, "We want you to call it Journey to Joy, and it's on the seven sorrows." And I was like, "Wait a second, ladies. I think you're a little confused here. How do joy and sorrows go together and suffering?" I was like, "I think you got this messed up." But as I started to reflect on the seven sorrows of Mary, I started to realize that what I thought was some sort of a medieval, antiquated devotion actually was super relevant for today's world, because everyone suffers.
Yes.
And if we can learn from the Blessed Virgin Mary how she transformed her suffering and her sorrows into joy, we've got the secret to a beautiful life.
Yeah.
And so I built into that book the answers to your question, Joseph. People are going to have to go read it now.
Awesome.
And what's the name of the book again? Where can we find it?
It's called Journey to Joy, Reflections on the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Father Daniel Brandenburg. And you can find it, RC Spirituality is the publisher. You can also find it on Amazon, which is the easiest place to find it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Father, for your beautiful story and testimony. And again, planting seeds so we can all find Journey to Joy. If you want to check out that book again, Father Daniel Brandenburg, Journey to Joy, check it out on Amazon. Until next time, thank you so much, Father, for blessing us in the Quest family.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Allison. God bless you.
What a meaningful conversation with Father Daniel Brandenburg. Now, you may notice it was not the feast, or it is not the feast of guardian angels today. However, that conversation we thought was so moving and riveting, especially after a homily he blessed us with at the Quest when he celebrated Mass here. We really wanted to unpack that conversation with them and share it with all you wonderful Quest friends and family. So a special thanks to Father Brandenburg LC, someone just a fan favorite, very special. Kathy, the greatest. I think the Pope called her the greatest scripture scholar.
I don't think the Pope called me that.
Okay, well, fact check me.
Fact check is right. So good to be here. Thank you so much.
We're blessed.
Calling me a scripture scholar. How about just a person who loves scripture?
Amen.
I got a little education, but how about that?
Well, yes.
Let's start with the gospel. It is from Luke 10, 25 through 37. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him into an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend any more money than what I've given you, I shall repay you on the way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, it was a long gospel. A couple of things I want to share real quick. One is that the whole thing with the robbers and the Good Samaritan story, the priests and the Levites sometimes get a bad rap. But the reality is, by Mosaic law, touching the body would have made them ritually unclean. And then they would not have been able to perform their priestly duties. So they were caught in a little bit of a snare. You know, do they follow the law or do they put love before the law?
Wow.
And I think Jesus was trying to share that maybe what we need to do is put love before the law, or at least don't let the law serve us. We need to, serve the law. We don't need to serve the law. We need to serve love first. The other thing that is interesting is that there's no such thing as a good Samaritan as far as Jews are concerned. Samaritans were not, they were non-Jews. Well, they married non-Jews. So they intermarried. So the Jewish, they were not fully Hebrew. So that's kind of one of the rubs between Jews and Samaritans. And so the idea that a Samaritan would come and do something good was kind of a paradigm shift for the Jews. So those are just a couple of things. But as I read the scripture, was there anything that stood out?
Well, I think one thing that you just said kind of hits me. It goes back to that other scripture when you talk about, you know, do we have this rigid conformity to the law, or do we let the love of Christ conform to us and dictate our next moves? And I go back to that scripture where Jesus said, "Man was not made for Sabbath, but Sabbath for man."
Right.
When these guys are picking wheat outside of the temple and they're accused by the Pharisees of, you know, totally just, being recalcent towards the law, and especially within the context of Sabbath. So realizing that the highest law is actually the law of love.
Correct. Yeah.
And then we say, who is the neighbor? You know, who is my neighbor? And it really invites me to have a different perspective on who that might be. In this instance, it's easy to... Those who are hardest to love often need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I willing to step outside of my comfort zone and, you know, get myself, quote unquote, dirty to serve?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus is saying that love is equal opportunity in terms of who I extend charity towards. It doesn't have a class distinction or, you know, certain racial boundaries, things like that. It's really, you know, it's, yeah, it's they're all, we're all God's children.
Allison?
Well, yeah, but a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. I think just realizing, do we have eyes to see whether it's somebody that's homeless, whether it's somebody, if we're taking a class that's struggling with something and they need assistance, or somebody at the grocery store, we talked about, you know, shopping last week, that might look like they're having a hard day, you know, giving them a hello, a kind smile. So there are so many ways just to have eyes to see everything out there where there is a need.
Mm-hmm.
And are we filling that need?
I think the big thing about this is I always look at what is it that Jesus is saying?
Mm-hmm.
He basically said that the scribe was right. When you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You're right. Go do that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he said, go do that. Then at the very end of the scripture, when it's who's the neighbor? Well, the scribe says it's the one who treated him with mercy. And then Jesus said, go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we're taking away from this is really that we need to go be a neighbor by showing mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And St. John Chrysostom, I have this quote from him. Do you wish to honor the body of Christ? Do not ignore him when he is naked. Do not pay him homage in the temple clad in silk, only then to neglect him outside when he is cold and ill-clad.
Mm. Amen. That's beautiful.
And Jesus is pretty specific about, hey, don't just gravitate to the people who are in high stature, but again, serve those who are, really the marginalized. And I think that that is a beautiful snapshot we're seeing here.
Amen.
Well, I believe that is all the time we have on the clock. Thank you so much, Kathy, for blessing us and reminding us who is our neighbor, and that, again, our greatest command is to serve the Lord and live in that law of love. We are so grateful.
Always great to be on the Morning Quest.
Thank you.
Amen.
Dave Savage, and from the National Catholic Register, abortion pills from Mexico and India are easily available in states where abortion is illegal or heavily regulated, according to a new report from American Life League. They say anyone in the United States can order abortion pills online with no medical supervision, and that federal agencies have shown no interest in stopping the practice. Katie Brown is the national director of American Life League. She said, the main thing that we found is that there's, for lack of a better term, a drug cartel that's targeting these 28 states where abortion has been banned or restricted. Now, the group that provides these abortion pills is called Las Libres. Their website provides a way to order the pills and also provides advice, including a recommendation that a woman who goes to a hospital or doctor after taking chemical abortion pills not tell medical staff members what she did.
Mm.
They say there's no need to tell them that your miscarriage was self-induced. It's just, okay.
Mm.
Moving along now. From the Catholic News Agency, a new film depicting the life and work of Father Edward J. Flanagan, titled Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, will be released in theaters across the U.S. for one night only, tomorrow, Tuesday, October 8th. The film portrays Father Flanagan's commitment to caring for orphaned kids, starting from the Great Depression to after World War II, all while defying racist laws in order to serve the most vulnerable and give them hope for a future.
Well, that sounds amazing. Is that a documentary or a full-length, like, motion, you know, production?
Yeah, I think it's a film.
Correct,
like,
a film.
Yeah.
Man, count
the film
me
covers
in
a lot of things, from Flanagan's health issues to his immigrating to the United States, to his founding of Boys Town, Nebraska. And the film is narrated by Catholic actor Jonathan Rumi, known for his role as Jesus Christ in The Chosen. And finally, the original Big Mac has been a favorite at McDonald's since 1968, but now there's a new twist, McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Oh,
wow.
It'll be for a limited time offer starting October 10th at participating McDonald's while supplies last.
They're going after the whole barnyard now, aren't they?
They are. They definitely are.
The Chuck Stop. The greatest saint scholar in America? Nah, the world.
Big. Yeah. Think big. I like to think big.
How about the universe?
Not that big.
Okay. The greatest saint scholar at the station.
I appreciate you recognizing that, Josh. And at 1 o'clock today, I'm going to call into the Dr. Ray Guarendi show and discuss my delusions of grandeur with that. That's actually a psychological diagnosis. Did you know that?
No,
I did not.
Delusions of grandeur. You heard the expression, but it's actually, you can be diagnosed with having delusions of grandeur.
Wow.
They said that about me one time, but I said, I don't care what you say. I know I'm the Pope.
All right. There you go.
Well, Chuck, you do what you do best, and that is unpack today's feast day. I would say saint of the day, but it's a little different today. Can you break it down for us?
Yeah, today's a little different. We're going to talk instead about the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And as a lot of our listeners know, October is a month that's dedicated to the promulgation of the Rosary. And for those who pray it every day, I know a number of our listeners are daily Rosarians.
Wow, is that what it's called?
Well, let's go with it.
I like that. That makes the most sense,
don't
I think.
Fact check us on this one. I don't know. It just sounded good, didn't it?
It did sound good. Yeah.
You know, we of course encourage everyone to pray the rosary every day, and this is a month where we can revisit that and really make renewed effort to do that. Mm-hmm. On the 7th of October, this is really kind of the crown jewel of this month with regard to this celebration. And on this date, and we're going to go back to the year 1571 and talk about the Battle of Lepanto. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the reason for this feast day. This battle did take place on October 7th. Hence the date of this memorial. On this date, the Ottoman Empire attacked Venice in what is now known as the Battle of Lepanto. Now, they were intent on destroying Christianity forever. If you looked at this as a sporting event, you'd have to like their odds. This was a navy, really an empire, that had not lost a major confrontation since the prior century.
Wow.
I did not know this. I knew some stuff about it, but I did not know that their record was that substantial.
Yeah, and the winning streak did not appear to be in jeopardy, really, because this would be a naval battle, and it would be fought on the high seas. The Ottomans had upwards of 10 ships in their fleet for every one that the Christians sailed into battle.
Wow.
So you see what I'm talking about here. This is a real long shot play. Mm-hmm. So hopelessly outnumbered, Pope Pius V, who was a real warrior pope, you know, he urged everyone to pray the Holy Rosary, and they did. In fact, the evening before the famous battle, all the sailors prayed the rosary on their knees together. So that's a real powerful image.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
On the day of the battle, and it's believed that over 400 warships were engaged, as things predictably intensified, something inexplicable happened. The wind shifted radically at a very pivotal moment in the battle, doing so in a way that was very advantageous to the Christian fleet that was actually led by Don Juan. And as the wind shifted, so too did the momentum of the battle, and the Ottoman Empire was soundly and quite miraculously defeated on this day, this despite this enormous advantage they had in size and firepower. This really marked the first major victory of a Western Christian fleet against the Ottoman Empire. For the Muslims, you know, the results were just nothing short of catastrophic. Hear this number, 40,000 men died in 4 hours. That's the equivalent of about 166 deaths per minute. And that's by far the highest casualty rate in any battle until, of course, World War I. Mm-hmm. But it remains the largest naval defeat inflicted against the Muslims in history. So, you know, on the heels of just stunning victory, Pius V declared this day the Feast of Our Lady of Victory. And it's back in 1572, immediately thereafter, a year later, as an offering of thanksgiving to our Blessed Mother, who did appear to Pius V in a vision in which she ensured victory. So when you got the Blessed Mother on your side,
yes.
10-1 odds don't really
Mama
mean that
knows
much.
Best. Mm-hmm.
This memorial was renamed Our Lady of the Rosary under Pope Gregory the 13th. Here we are today, looking back on this just amazing day in Christian history, and we're reminded of the power of the Rosary. Allison, I know you like quotes.
You know,
and
I love
think
quotes.
You have a good one here that's very relevant in this particular instance today.
I do. This is a quote from servant of God Joseph Kentenich. Mm-hmm. And it says, the rosary is a sort of machine gun, an atomic bomb, namely a weapon that is far superior to all the weapons of modern warfare in overcoming the enemy of God. Yeah. So, I mean, talking about them on their knees praying the rosary, calling on Our Lady's intercession, and of course, Mother Mary's always pointing to her son.
That should be the slogan. If you want a spiritual bomb, call your mom.
I love it.
I like that.
And again, there's another one. St. Jose Maria Escriva. The Holy Rosary is a powerful weapon. Use it with confidence and you'll be amazed at the results. So that speaks absolutely to that incident.
Yeah, once again, you see the image of the rosary as a weapon.
Yes.
A true weapon.
Yes.
I think it was one of the on-air personalities on EWTN, I think it may have been Chris Stefanik, which likened the rosary to a slingshot.
Wow.
The way in which David took down Goliath. And it is kind of shaped that way if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the Rocks and Pebbles. So, yeah, it is our weapon of choice. It's Pius the 10th, right? What do you say? Give me an army of people praying the rosary and I'll save the world?
Yes.
100 people
save the rosary?
Conquer
the world.
Conquer the world. That's even better.
Save the world, conquer the world. Same thing, right? And maybe he means conquer the world with Christ. Right? Spiritually.
I think so. But, you know, I have a history of misquoting saints on this program anyway. Remember, pray, hope, and worry. With St. Padre Pio. So, I mean, I can't let our listeners down. I haven't had a chance to.
Well, I'll say this, too, personally. When I was curious in Catholicism, one thing that really got me, I started going to a church on Saturdays, a mass on Saturdays with a dear friend and mentor of mine. But it was when I went to a daily mass, actually accidentally, at IHM. And after they were praying the rosary, and they could smell the fresh Protestant scent on me. So they, you know, they invite me to...
Fresh meat.
They just, yeah, they scouted me, man. They invite me to come and pray with them. And it was very different, but I knew this particular mentor and friend prayed the rosary regularly. So I thought, well, it can't be that bad if the person I trust the most does this. Once I said that rosary, it was like Mary snatched me and grabbed my heart and there was no looking back. Mm-hmm. And within a year, year and a half, I was in RCIA. But the rosary will bring you home.
Wow. Well, and you know what else is beautiful about the rosary? There is something called a scriptural rosary. And ultimately, when you know the rosary, all the mysteries are pointing to scripture. You know, it's pointing to Holy Scripture. So there is a way to actually pray the rosary, a scriptural rosary, and you're pulling different parts of scripture out and meditating on those mysteries that come from scripture while you're praying. So it's beautiful. Again,
absolutely.
Mother Mary is always pointing to her son.
Yeah, those are great. And, you know, I think there's one that's tied to Pope John Paul II, a scriptural rosary, who, of course, gave us the Luminous Mysteries in the year 2002. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we celebrate a couple of popes this month. I think it's really appropriate in light of the fact that so many of our popes had such a great devotion to the rosary. John the 23rd prayed all three sets of mysteries every day because, again, he was pope prior to John Paul II giving us the Luminous Mysteries, the Mysteries of Life.
I think Benedict prayed all four every day.
Yeah, I would bet he did.
Probably the most astute intellect, or at least theologian, within the past 100 years, and yet he is still a mama's boy spiritually with Our Lady, right? Praying all four of those mysteries a day. Like, that says a lot.
Especially when you consider he had such a desire to write. He probably always had something to write and put down, but he managed his time in a way that it's time for the rosary now.
Well,
I'm not going to spend any time reading.
Making time, that's the key. I mean, when I pray the rosary, it's sometimes when I'm swimming or even on the road.
Yeah.
You know, put our app on and listen to the rosary and pray it.
And with November coming up, you can pray it in the graveyard and offer it for the souls, especially during that 3-day stretch of All Hallows Eve into All Saints and Souls. You can earn plenary indulgences doing it there.
Wow.
Oh, I love that. Well, that is the message today. We could have gone into more stuff, but I think the Lord wanted us to land here. And the messages, the parting words are, call your mother.
Our Lady of the Holy Rosary.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
And we need to change that.
No, it's fine. Fine the way it is. Well, we're going to do Monday memes now. That's what we, basically, these are memes I've just seen on the internet over the past week, and some inspiring, some silly, whatever, just whatever. First one is from an atheist, Ricky Gervais. He was hosting one of the award shows, and I loved what he said to all these people. It's a room full of, you know, Hollywood celebrities. Mm-hmm. He says, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech. You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that.
It is true.
Here's one that's very true. Camping, where you spend a small fortune to live like a homeless person.
It does add up when you're preparing. And definitely if you're a tent camper like the moms and kids group at our parish.
When I went to L.A., that speaking of camping, maybe this is a... When I went to L.A., I had saved up a bunch of money. I was like, I'm good. I've got like $8,000. I'll be good for like 3 months. L.A. was like, we'll see about that.
You bought a Big Mac and it was gone.
Exactly. I learned a lot about camping that summer. I'll just leave it there.
I like this one. Heaven is my home. I'm just here recruiting.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that.
God is not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation. Stop trying to change scripture when it's written to change you.
Amen. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Get out there and be the surprise onion ring in somebody's french fries today. you ever do that? You find the little onion ring in your french fries. Like, oh, cool. I got an onion ring.
I think that's cool. Depending on what restaurant. Like, as long as it's a restaurant with onion rings.
Yeah, that serves onion rings, yeah. Right.
I'm like, what is going on right now? It should not be in my waffle fries.
And that is reminding me of our gospel reflection. Seriously, go out there. Have those eyes and ears open to be open to surprises, right?
Absolutely. And I'm going to close on this one. I like this. What do you want to be known for?
Mm.
Deep thoughts here.
Yeah.
You know? And we'll have to contemplate. I'm not expecting an answer right now, but...
Well, I, you know, it's interesting. You see people, and life just happens, and obviously the inevitable happens. We lose people we love, and you realize no matter how Herculean your accomplishments are in business or in the arts... All those things typically start to fade with time, and you realize what is left is the eternal imprint you leave for Christ on this side of eternity. So it just kind of crystallizes things, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I have the privilege of being joined by some of my favorite people, Allison DeLuhl, and of course, the Reverend Mark White. We're so glad to have you here.
Good to be here.
So, Father, why do the priests recommend that we arrive at Mass about 10 minutes early?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a discipline. It can be challenging at times, especially if you have a big family. And I kind of like to think about it like this, as, you know, Catholics are kind of a people of preparation, you know, you think about it. For example, we see this theme in every new liturgical year, you know, the beginning of Advent. You know, what is the theme of Advent? Well, we're spending some time preparing to celebrate Christ's first coming in order to what? To get ready for his second coming. You know, so we're kind of always preparing for the Lord in that way. Or how about Lent? It's a time of purification, but also preparation to celebrate and enter into the most fundamental and significant mysteries of our Lord's life, his death and resurrection through the gift and institution of the Eucharist. Even you could say each day in ordinary time is kind of a preparation of sorts for Sunday, right? Or for Advent, at least Lent and Easter, because it's kind of looking forward and back towards the most significant events of our Lord's life. So we're always preparing to meet him, you know? And we could say this from a general human perspective. You know, people, it's like, why do we need to prepare? Well, we do that all the time. You know, each stage of life is kind of preparation for next. You know, you're kind of preparing in the womb for birth,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Preparing for kindergarten, grade school, college, a career, you know. And the focus on preparation is relational, is it not? You know, preparing for new friends, maybe to meet a new boss or meeting your spouse, right? Mm-hmm. So a good question to ask is, how much time a week do we allow ourselves to prepare to meet the Lord in the Eucharist? You know, is it more or less time than you spend getting ready for work or a date or even just going to a movie? You know, because it only makes sense, I think, to arrive early to Mass to reverently and prayerfully, and, you know, quiet and still your heart. That's what we're really trying to do, and get ready to listen to Jesus so that we can be ready to encounter the one in this most intimate way, the one who we should have as the most important person in our life. So that's kind of a good summary of at least the reason behind preparation and what we should be doing. It's mainly to silence your heart, maybe look at the readings, get in a place where you're not focused on the world around you, but you're focused on this great gift that is just sublime and just awe-inspiring, that I get to be one with God in this way.
That's powerful. And I think that the thing that you touched on, really the human aspect of it, like, what is the condition of my heart before I receive right. communion, when I get to Mass? So I notice maybe I am bumping up against the clock on my way yeah. to Mass, and all of a sudden I'm turning into a NASCAR driver, you
right,
know,
that's right.
and I'm agitated and I'm nervous. And am I going to make it on time? And I take all of that in with me
yes.
as I'm trying to beat the buzzer.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think, you know, this is not the holiest of dispositions to start this service off.
You know, it's also, there's a distinction between, we talk about being worthy to receive communion. You know, if you've committed a serious sin, you want to go to confession before receiving. That's a different issue than being ready to receive. Mm-hmm. You can be worthy, but not We're worthy in the sense that the church, none of us are totally worthy, but worthy in the sense that we can receive Holy Communion. But I'm not ready because I'm just agitated. You know, but you even see that in your own life with just relationships and stuff. It's like, I'm not prepared for this conversation. I'm mm-hmm. not ready for this event. I'm not, you know. And so how much more should we be ready for something that is so wholly other than what we experience in daily life, and that is communion with the one true God.
Well, and so, I think too, getting there early, and again with three kids, sometimes
it's hard with children.
Sometimes yeah. it's challenging. And last Sunday was a perfect example. It was crazy.
Right.
I mean, they were getting agitated, upset, because we go at 7:30 a.m. I love going
right,
early,
that's great.
You know,
wow.
so we can be there. But just the thought of getting up even a little bit more early,
sure.
and just going in there and being in silence. How often are we in silence in our lives?
That's right.
Just sit and be still.
That's a great point. You know, one of the things that I've heard families will do is, you know, turn off the radio, mm-hmm. turn off the cell phones, you know, depending on how old your kids are. If they have that, young kids, don't talk. That's a good, you know, starting when we get in the car. Or we pray a rosary. A lot mm-hmm. of churches will have a rosary. I think sometimes, I mean, it's always to prepare your heart for this, but it also keeps people from talking. Because mm-hmm. I've noticed in a lot of churches, people still come in and talk, even though most people know it's not a place to just come into the sanctuary and have a conversation mm-hmm. or just hang out with other people. We struggle in a culture that's so loud and noisy to get silent and get ready. And I think if you start before you get there, and we're all guilty of that a little bit. A good thing is, though, to pray a rosary on the way or mm-hmm. Do a devotion. You could easily do it in your car. And at least everybody is conditioning their mind, even the smallest ones,
yes.
smallest children, to say, okay, something is different about this. We need to get ready for it. I don't fully understand this at 5 years old or 6 or 7, but this is what we do. And then later in life, I think it develops a habit,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it isn't like just I'm walking in, throwing my coffee in the trash can,
yeah.
you know, just walking in kind of half asleep and trying to get it done.
Well, yeah, because you want your kids, I mean, and even adults, we want to go in there appreciating what we're about to do. And that's, if we just go in there, oh, here we are, checking it off, going to Mass.
That's right.
That's not what
a lot of
it is.
You know, it's funny, people will prepare for stuff that's a lot less important.
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh about that, but like, oh, I gotta get there to see the previews.
Yeah,
my popcorn.
Yeah,
you know, the movie, you know, and it's like, well, this is like a gazillion times more important than that, you know. So
mm-hmm.
we need to act like it on some level. Part of it, you know, and we, God knows what we need. You know,
and maybe even if somebody's going in there, if I'm going in there one day and I'm in a terrible mood, Lord, transform my heart. Help me know you're here.
That's right.
Help me know what I'm about to encounter.
Yeah, I mean, talk to him.
He is,
you know, you can talk to him throughout Mass too, mm-hmm. you know, and you do, and this, you do it liturgically, but you can also do it individually in the silence of your own heart. And certainly you can do it before Mass, but you know, it is a discipline that is easily fallen away from, because I know as a priest starting early on, I wanted to always get there and recollect and everything. And then I've noticed that now I'll rush to get there at the last minute, you know, and I'm usually on time, but it's like, and I know some guys that have been around for years that will be even late. And I sense a difference in the way I say Mass and everything when I do that, as opposed to when I've just rushed into it. I almost have to apologize to God. I know I'm not ready for this, so help me, Lord. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes he's like, nope, you're going to fumble through some of this,
mm-hmm.
but you know. So it's important.
I think the last thing I might just articulate is what you're all talking about is also giving God space to let you know what your intention should be for Mass.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I show up and He might have some very special graces for me, but am I in a state where I can see and unwrap that present?
Right. You know, maybe you want to offer the Mass for something, mm-hmm. you know, and you have something very specific. That's another way to prepare. That's another way to get your mind on what you're doing. And yeah, you know, you're right. You know, who am I praying for today? And maybe I've got something I'm going through and I want wisdom on that or whatever. Yeah. And if you're not, you know, you're not prepared for that, you could get a gift and not even see it.
Wow. Some beautiful words to end on. Thank you so much, Father, for really blessing us again.
Yeah, thank you, Father, so much. Can you give us a final blessing?
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.